Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Okay, welcome everybody to Hot Topics. As you can see on the screen behind me, today we are going to be talking about the immutability of God. Before I begin, all of you, try to say that 5 times in a row to yourself. You're already mumbling. Okay. Immutability of God. How many of you have heard this attribute of God? You understand what that means? Immutability of God. It means that God does not change. He doesn't change as to who he is. He doesn't change as to how he is. He is immutable, right? And we praise God for that fact, because if God were to change, well, I guess the question would it be for the better or for the worse, right? If God were to change, for instance, and he's no longer eternal, does that mean God can die? Oh my, if God dies, you realize what happens? Everything collapses, right? And that's why you want to be careful, just as a side note, when you talk about Christ on the cross, remember, and this is a bit of a mystery, but nevertheless, always remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross, right? Okay, not the second person of the Trinity. The second person of the Trinity is fully divine, right? If the second person of the Trinity died, Houston, we have a problem. Now, what gets tricky with this is that we know that Jesus Christ, one person, right? Jesus, how many natures? 2 natures, fully divine, fully human. These 2 natures are perfectly united. They are not mixed. They are not divided. They are perfectly united. How? In the power of the Spirit. That's about as far as I can go with the how answer. I don't know. Okay? This describes the hypostatic union of Christ. Okay? Now, why am I saying this? Jesus on earth, were the 2 natures ever separated? Good. No. That's heresy, right? So, here on earth, now we see examples of Christ's human nature manifest. He was hungry. He was tired. We see his divine nature manifest, right? Multiplying bread and fish, walking on water and so forth. But we have to be careful. His 2 natures never were divided, never commingled. Because if that happens, you've just created a new nature, right? Right? Think of oil and water, right? 2 different things. Right? If you now put the oil in the water, right? Put a drop of oil in the water, guess what you've done? You've created a third entity, right? So you've got to be careful when it comes to the 2 natures of Christ. They are perfectly united. They are not divided, nor are they mixed. Okay? Now, Christ on the cross. 2 natures, right? Yeah, okay. When Christ died, was his divine nature separated from his human nature? Well, if that's the case, then he ceased to be. So we have to be careful. We know God cannot die, right? So we have to be careful when we say that God the Son died. I've caught myself sometimes when I've preached, and you know, you're talking about the second person of the Trinity who became man, and God the Son, and this and that. And I've caught myself at times saying, "Yeah, the Son died." I went, "Oh, No, God did not die on that cross. Because again, if God died, he would cease to be God. He has changed. He is no longer eternal. He is no longer the one who was, who is, and who is forevermore. Houston, we have a problem. We want to be precise, right, when we talk about God. So that's an example. And you'll hear guys say this all the time. God died. No, he didn't die. Why? Because he is immutable. He is unchanging. Go to Psalm 102. Let me just show you some scriptures here in the Old Testament, real quick, that show the immutability of God. Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. Look what scripture says about God. Of old, you founded the earth. Would we agree with that? God is the sovereign creator. Of old, you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Now watch this. Even they will perish, but you, God, endure. All of them will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. Right? So very clearly here we see scripture talking about the immutability of God. God does not change who he is and how he is. Hop over to Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, here it is, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You are always who you are. You are always how you are. You are immutable. Hop over to Malachi chapter 3. Look what God says to his wayward people, the Israelites. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Look what God said to them. After God had hammered them for their disobedience, right? We're not talking about pre-exile disobedience, as bad as that was. We're talking about post-exile disobedience. After they had been disciplined for 70 years in Babylon, guess what? They came out of Babylon. They just kept doing many of the same things that their forefathers had done that caused them to go to exile. And God explains to them the only reason why that nation was still in existence. After all they had done to disobey God, God said to them in verse 6, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed." In other words, God had made a covenant promise, right, to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that God would choose a nation, bless a nation. Through that nation, the Messiah would come and bring salvation, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Well, think about in the Old Testament how the nation of Israel had committed apostasy, how the nation of Israel had become adulterous, adulterers towards God. Think about how the nation of Israel, God's people, who had a front row seat to seeing God's power at work, God's mercy, God's compassion, God's patience, they're the ones who received the word of God, the Old Testament. No other nation had that. Think about how the nation of Israel had been so blessed by God, and yet, time after time, they just kept rebelling against God. And perhaps, maybe some of them were thinking, well, of course God isn't going to wipe us out because we're so wonderful, right? God says, no. Let me tell you the reason why you haven't been consumed. Because I, the Lord God, do not change. Do you see that? He made a covenant promise. God does not change. unfortunately, like we as humans do, right? Hop over to New Testament, couple quick examples. Go to James chapter 1. We read very clearly, again, about the immutability of God. Starting in verses 16 and 17, James, half-brother of Jesus, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said to believers, do not be deceived, verse 16 of chapter 1, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, and here it is, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. God is good. God is always good, even when at times it doesn't look so good to us, right? God, there is no shadowy side of God. There's no shifty side of God. There's no variation in God. God is immutable, right? Hebrews, we see the same thing. Chapter 1. Starting in verse 10, quoting from Psalm 102 that we just read in the Old Testament, you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all become old like a garment, and like a mantle you will roll them up. Like a garment they will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. Because God is immutable in who he is and how he is. And again, stay in Hebrews, go to chapter 13, verse 8, talking about Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, declares Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And those are just a few verses I wanted to give you, both from the Old and New Testament, to kind of set the groundwork here to discuss why this is a hot topic. It's pretty clear in Scripture what God's Word says about God, right? He doesn't change. And by the way, praise God, he doesn't change. But do you know there are groups of theologians out there who deny the immutability of God, who teach their students that God does change? In fact, there is a teaching out there that's called process theology. The father of process theology was the early to mid-1900s, a gentleman by the name of Charles Hartshorne. He was a professor, the University of Chicago, at Emory University, University of Texas, process theology, which teaches that God does not know the future. God is in process figuring out what to do as the future unfolds. And as a result, God is changing based upon the process. Now, I just gave you a few scriptures in both the Old and New Testament. Do you see anywhere in those scriptures where you can kind of go, well, maybe process theology makes sense? Not a chance. And by the way, process theology tries to get God off the hook for all the world's problems, because you just simply say, well, God doesn't really know in advance what's happening. So, you know, he's kind of in process, just like we are, discovering things as it goes. And but God's a little bit ahead of the game than we are, because he's God and we're not. And God is like kind of just cleaning things up as he's in process. And that kind of gets God off the hook for all the world's problems, right? Guys, that's heresy. You know, scripture declares from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. He didn't change. Because again, if God changes based on circumstances that are happening, that means that God is not the first cause, right? Because every cause must have a what? Effect. Every effect comes from a cause. Well, if you're saying that God is kind of in process, and what you're saying is that the circumstances that are happening are the first cause, and the effect is God kind of adapts himself, his character, to what is happening. Kind of like he's a chameleon, right? Kind of changes with what? That means when God says that he is slow to anger, he is compassionate, he is forgiving. Guess what, gang? If you think God, if you deny the immutability of God, guess what? How can you be certain that tomorrow God is going to be forgiving, loving, compassionate to you? Maybe today he is, but you know what? As circumstances unfold tomorrow, God could change. Or how about this? The sovereignty of God. God is in full control. Boy, you look at what's going on in this world around us. I don't want to try to get God off the hook for all these problems. I praise God that he's sovereign over all these problems. But if you deny the immutability of God, let me ask you something. Maybe today he's sovereign. But what about tomorrow? John, you want to wake up tomorrow and not be certain that God is in full control of everything? I don't want to wake up. Or how about this one? The cross. Scripture clearly declares, right? I mean, Jesus, right before he gave up his spirit, what did he declare? Paid in full. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, right? So he declared at the cross, paid in full, he died. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, demonstrating that that which he declared, he did. And scripture declares that Christ's offering, his once for all perfect sacrifice, was accepted by the Father on our behalf. If God changes, wow. Imagine standing before God on Judgment Day. And all of a sudden, Tim, God says, nah. Yeah, but God, according to Scripture, I've trusted in your Son. I've repented of my sins. And I place my full faith and trust in him alone for salvation. Because that's what the Bible clearly says. And all of a sudden, God goes, yeah, but I changed my mind. By the way, Islam teaches that Allah, their God, it's kind of like that. It's kind of fickle. You're not certain what you're going to get, what kind of mood you're going to get in him when you're standing before him. That's not the God of the Bible. God is always who he is. He is always how he is. Praise God. Because if God were to change, he would cease being God. And friends, we're going to have a much bigger problem than the coronavirus. Everything collapses if God ceases to be God. Right? Hop over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 11. The Apostle Paul, writing to a young pastor by the name of Timothy, who he had mentored for years and years. This was Paul's last letter, right? He's in the Roman dungeon, second Roman imprisonment. He's about to die. He's trying to encourage young Timothy to keep fighting the good fight of the faith. And he said to Timothy, here's a trustworthy statement. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Here's a trustworthy statement. If we died with him, we will also live with him. I want to count on that statement, don't you? I want to count on the fact that God's not going to change his mind on this one. If we died with Christ, guess what? We will also live with him throughout all eternity. If God is changeable, you see what I mean? Paul says, no, this is a trustworthy statement. If we died with Christ, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. Here we go. Watch this. If we deny him, he'll also deny us. Verse 13, if we're faithless, he remains what? Faithful. Oh, he's going to ignore the fact, Fiorella, that you deny him and that, you know, at one time you professed him and then now you live a life that you deny him. Don't worry, Fiorella, because it says here, even if you're faithless, Fiorella, God remains faithful. Finish the sentence. He cannot deny himself. What is this declaring? His immutability. What is this context here? What is he saying? You deny him. He is faithful to who he is. He cannot deny himself. He cannot change. Again, end of verse 12. You deny him. He'll deny you. Doesn't he say in the Gospels, whoever denies me and is ashamed of me before man, I'll deny you and be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. We're reminded here, we deny him, he'll deny us. If we're faithless, guess what? Don't expect him to change. He's faithful to who he is and how he is, because he cannot deny who he is and how he is. Do you see it? You hear people teach this all the time, say, well, it's okay, you know, because you can deny him and be faithless. And guess what? God is faithful. He'll just come chasing after you like a little puppy and say, please, 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 love me, love me, love me. What? What? Or again, process theology. Look, God saved you, but you know what? He didn't realize in advance that you would actually end up being a hypocrite and commit apostasy, and that you would be faithless and deny him. And God didn't know, and he's in process. And so, you know what? He's going to chase after you, even though you deny him. Again, do you see? It makes God the second cause. We, as humans, then become the first cause. I don't know. Isn't that kind of the deal that Satan offered Adam and Eve in the garden? You can be like God. You deny the immutability of God, and you say that God is not faithful to who he is, that God can actually deny his nature, change his nature, that God basically is some sort of almost schizophrenic deity, that he kind of, or a chameleon deity where he has to change as circumstances are going. Do you realize you've created your own God? That is not the God of the Bible. And that is a false God. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 as I conclude. Verse 11. Scripture declares very clearly that as Christians, we've obtained an inheritance through God's electing grace, Christ's redeeming grace, the Holy Spirit's regenerating grace. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And the result is we've obtained an inheritance, eternal life, right? Having been predestined according to God's purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Unless, of course, he didn't anticipate some things happening in the future and he's got to change along the way. What? Praise God. He is self-existent. He is eternal. He is infinite in his being and perfection. He is incomprehensible. We can't fully grasp God. That which we grasp about of him or understand about him, he has graciously revealed to us through the pages of Scripture. God is triune. God is holy, holy, holy. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. And praise God, he is immutable. The same God, Christian, that you are trusting in today, the same God that you read about in the pages of Scripture, the same God where you are relying on, who on whom you are relying on for everything, including eternal life, guess what? When you wake up tomorrow, no matter what's happening in this world, no matter what's happening with you, guess what? He does not change. Praise God. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.